certainly in my experience, and you know, I have people that work here with me that are more mature than me, what I find is that the life experience that they bring lends credibility and lends advice and counsel to me that actually helps me do my job better.
Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson, an Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. Anne will also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors' health care.
Hi, it's Anne Nelson, your host for today's show. Having a job for life is no longer the norm. Sometimes when you get to the age of over 50, whether you have been made redundant, it can lead to a bit of a personal crisis. So how do you cope with having to find a different career in your more mature years? Today's guest has some top tips that all job hunters can use. Today we have Nina Mapson-Bone. Nina is the Managing Director of Beaumont People, a specialised recruitment business based in Australia. Hi, Nina, how are you?
Hi, Anne. Good, thank you.
That's good. And where are you?
I'm based in Sydney, sitting in my office in Sydney.
And you have an accent.
I've been in this country for 17 years, but I can't shake the English accent, Anne, you're right.
And you are a career lady.
Very much so, yes. I've been in recruitment for over nearly 25 years now. So, yeah, very passionate about what I do.
And I suppose some of my listeners may be wondering why we're having a chat today, but it's very important, isn't it? Because the thing about having a job for life is a thing of the past, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Unfortunately, the world we live in now has changed, and it's not a world where people can go into a career for, you know, for their entire lives of 35 years. And we're moving much more towards what people call a portfolio career and having to deal with different changes through their career. So, yes, times have changed.
And what are the different types of changes that have happened? People seem to be on contract. How are the different ways people are employed these days?
Well, people can be employed, they can still be employed on a permanent basis, but usually people choose to move on every few years under that basis. There's obviously part-time work, contract work, casual work, flexible work, but also a lot of people are increasingly choosing to have what we call a portfolio career, which might combine a number of those different types of work. And particularly once they've sort of done the career thing, they might move into a more portfolio career later in life, which does sometimes involve a change to the style of working that they're perhaps used to.
I've never heard that term before. Could you elaborate, please?
Yeah, of course. So it's a term that essentially helps combine those different working styles. So as I said, things like short-term contracts or part-time work or project work or self-employment. And what we're seeing is that as the workforce matures, and you would know yourself that the lifetime of Australians is getting longer, the government are suggesting that by 2035, the retirement age will lift from 65 to 70. But if you read Linda Grattan's book, The 100-Year Life, she is suggesting, and I don't want to freak anyone out with this, but she is suggesting that we perhaps might end up working till we're 100. But the point is, there's a lot more years in our working lives than there were before. And so with the way the economy has changed and with globalization and with things like what they call the gig economy and disruption, that changes the nature of how we work. And so a portfolio career is one where people are able to dip into all the different types of working and manage their working in different ways with different styles at the same time. Much like most people would understand that an actor or a musician might have a portfolio career where they have certain gigs at certain points and they might do other things or other projects on the side. But that's becoming more common across different areas of work as well.
Okay. So what can they do to help? What can someone looking for work do to help themselves to do with training, or what do they need to, how can they prepare themselves?
Yeah, if you're either looking for work or looking for a change in career, or even just finding yourself, you know, out of work and looking to find work, the best thing you can do is make sure that you are as prepared as you can be. And there's a few different things that you would need to do that, particularly as a mature age worker. If you're not across online applications and how online application processes work, that's really crucial, because most roles these days do work through an online application process. So make sure your skills are up to speed there. Have a think about your CV and your interview techniques, because it's very easy now to apply for a job. It's very quick and easy to apply for a job. So you need to make sure that you can stand out, because the volume of applications has lifted significantly to, say, even 10, 20 years ago. So you need to make sure those CV and interview tips stand out. And there's a lot of resources online that will help you with that. If you do a quick search, you can find those resources. So make sure that you're across how to find that kind of resources as well. And have a think. I think the other thing that's really important is have a think about what you want to do and where your skills are aligned, particularly if you're thinking about changing careers, really making sure that you're going to do something that aligns to your skill set and your strengths.
All right. And with prospective employers, what do they look for? Are they looking for referrals from the employer, or do they go searching themselves and try and find out themselves a bit about that applicant?
I would say it's a combination of both. So the old sort of the references are still very important, and people still look at references, and they still look at people that may have referred them to them. Word of mouth and reputation is still very important. But you can also find out a huge amount yourself these days. So you can find out about individuals by doing your own research, and you can use your own skills and judgments to assess people. And there's a lot of technology that will help with that assessment piece as well. So I think what's changed in the last 10 years or so is that the different methods of assessing someone's suitability have become greater, and smart employers will use a combination of all of those methods to try and ensure that they're hiring the right person. So as a candidate, as a potential candidate, you need to make sure you're across all of those methods and ensuring that you can perform at your best at every one of those types of things.
And I assume this includes social media, to make sure your social media is squeaky clean.
Yeah, and typically we find with the mature age workers that's not necessarily such a problem, but I'll give you an example at the other end of the spectrum. We had a young lad the other day, a 16, 17-year-old, looking for his first role, and the employer did a search, and all of his social media photos were him out partying and drinking, and the employer was quite concerned based on that in terms of how reliable he might be. So people do look at these things. So it's important to ensure what we say to people is there is no difference. There is no internet you and real you. It's all the same. So make sure that whatever you're putting out there is representative of you.
Right. And employers typically using agencies such as yourself to recruit these days? I mean, it must be a big task to sift through all those applications.
It very much depends on the employer, and to be honest with you, some like to do it themselves. A number of employers have their own big internal recruitment teams, and often the larger companies will have their big own internal recruitment teams. And when that's the case, they might then come to us just where they're really struggling to find somebody, or where it's maybe a specialist or more niche role, or it's in a location that's potentially difficult to get to. But equally, a lot of the small and medium organizations don't have, you know, HR functions or capabilities to do this work themselves. And it's interesting, when people are recruiting, it's often because they're understaffed, so they're also overstretched in terms of their workload, so it just adds an extra burden to them. So that ability to be able to ask a recruitment firm to take that stress away for them and really help them with the process is one of the reasons that people use a recruitment firm such as us. The other big reason is it does give them independence. So everybody suffers from unconscious bias. We all naturally, whether we believe it or not, we all naturally align ourselves with people that think and look like us. It's proven in all sorts of research. So using an independent firm really helps to create some independence around the process and ensure that there might be a broader spectrum of diversity represented in the recruitment process.
With businesses nowadays, there seems to be a lot of people are being offered redundancy packages, and employers for various reasons seem to be downsizing a lot more these days. I notice in the media, the banks, the more technology they employ, the more they are downsizing their work staff. So how does one turn around a redundancy package?
That's a great question, Anne. There are a number of redundancies happening on a regular basis. Actually, Australia has quite a high redundancy rate. 2.3% of the Australian workers lose their job every year through a redundancy. Overall employment isn't changing. It's just that the nature of the types of work are changing. So people can find themselves with a skill or a career that is no longer something that's in demand, and they may be made redundant through that, or that particular industry might be downsizing. The good news is 70% of people find work within their first year and 80% with their second year. So we have high mobility in Australia. I think the important thing if you get made redundant is really to try and be as pragmatic about it as you can. It's very normal to have sort of quite emotional reaction to being made redundant. It's very normal to feel loss or a sense of injustice that you've been hard done by, or even that it might be the end of the world. And that's normal, and that's okay. So first of all, acknowledge your feelings. It's a bit like a grieving process. You need to go through that. But the best way to try and turn it into something positive is to acknowledging those feelings, ensuring that you don't let those feelings kind of tarnish your reputation on the way out. The more you can hold your head up high and the more professional you can be as you exit the organisation, the more that leaves your reputation intact. And we were just talking earlier about the different ways in which you can be judged in the future. You know, that will make a big difference in terms of if you're asked for a reference from that organisation later down the track. So making sure you leave with grace is really important. And then use the time. If you've been given a redundancy package, you potentially have a lump of money that you weren't anticipating having, and you have some time on your hands. So it's a really good time to actually take stock of your life and think to yourself, well, you know, have I been doing what I've been doing because I kind of fell into it and it's just what I've been doing? Is now a good time to think to myself, where are my skills? What is my passion? What do I want to do? And can I use this time and this the resources I've been given to actually turn this into a real positive? And we see a huge amount of people that say to us that redundancy was actually the best thing that ever happened to them. Often doesn't feel like it at first, but it really can be if you use it positively.
So that's the key, to use this time positively to take the next step.
Absolutely.
I believe you work with a lot of people that are over 50. And how do you think that ageism affects them? Are they a bit hesitant at this time in their lives having to find a new career?
Yeah, it's really interesting. Unfortunately, there are some statistics from the Human Rights Organization that say that 27% of people over 50 have experienced age discrimination in the workforce, which is really sad when you think about it. And I think what happens often is that people can lose their confidence a little bit, particularly if they have felt discriminated against. So if they find themselves in a situation where they have to look for a new job, particularly if it hasn't been their choice, they can really lose their confidence about that. And it's easy then for them, you know, if they get another rejection or they get a knockback, to assume that that's ageism. So I think the first tip I give to people is don't jump to conclusions. You know, it is tricky sometimes and it might be ageism, but if you make that assumption, sometimes that can make you come across potentially as a little bit defensive or a little bit sensitive, which is not going to help in terms of helping yourself. And what's really important here is how well you can help yourself. So finding ways to build your confidence is one of the things that will really make a difference. And that goes back to what we were talking about earlier, Anne, in terms of really making sure that you're confident in your CV, making sure that you're confident in your interview tips. And if you find someone that can help you, either a career coach, or if you do have a good recruitment person that you can build a relationship with, they can give you some tips in terms of your interview technique so that you can overcome any potential objections before they even arise. So, for example, if you feel like you're sitting in an interview and you feel like the person has a little bit of age discrimination in their mind, they may be worried that you're potentially going to not be as reliable because, you know, for whatever reason, they might have a perception in their mind that, you know, that you might not attend work as much through ill health. These are some of the things that people think. It's actually statistically wrong. Mature age workers are far more reliable. But you were talking in an interview about how committed you are and how dedicated you are and how now that you potentially don't have family commitments like you used to, you have the freedom to put more into your work, and then that's where you get your mental stimulation and you really enjoy that engagement and interaction with other people because that allows you to continue to grow and develop, and you're almost overcoming that objection before it's even been raised. So it doesn't allow that objection to rise in the interviewer's mind. So having a think about how you can turn those around is really important.
Well, that's very good advice for anyone that's over 50 that finds themselves out looking for work again. Do you think there's bias on the part of the employer that older people may have trouble, say, working with a younger boss?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. But yeah, I'm not sure if it's bias necessarily or more nerves on behalf of the boss. A lot of people, if they're younger and they have more mature people that report into them, you know, might get nervous. They don't want to be disrespectful. They don't necessarily like feeling like they're telling someone older than them what to do, because perhaps they've been raised to respect their elders. So that can be something that makes the boss a little bit nervous in how to do that. But also the worker, the mature age worker, can sometimes be a bit nervous about, well, how do I approach this? I'm now reporting into somebody that's the same age as my child, and I remember, you know, how I told my child to behave. So it's quite interesting that the dynamic has changed. So I think there's a lot that can be done to help improve that. I think the mature age worker has more experience and they can bring that experience to the table, but they can do it in a respectful way. It's really important to maintain the respect of the relationship there. And it's important that the boss does the same thing. And I think certainly in my experience, and, you know, I have people that work here with me that are more mature than me, what I find is that their life experience that they bring lends credibility and lends advice and counsel to me that actually helps me do my job better. So done well, it can be a really great dynamic, but it's like anything, it's about building that respectful and trustful relationship.
That's very interesting. Thank you. And do you think older people need to spruce up their image a bit?
Oh, I don't know, Anne. I think that probably depends on the industry, and it depends on, you know, where you're going to work and what type of work you're going to do. What's interesting for us, and we work across a number of different sectors, is, you know, generally as recruiters, we have to be quite smart if we're, you know, interviewing people constantly. And certainly for some of our commercial organisations, you know, law firms and professional services firms, they would expect us to be dressed very, very smartly. But we equally do a huge amount in the charity space. And if we turned up with our best suit on to meet one of our charity clients, they'd probably feel a bit intimidated by that, because that's not the nature of their environment. You know, and then again, we have some clients in the advertising space who are all a bit funky and trendy. And you know, if you sort of dressed differently for them, that wouldn't work. So I think it's about finding the right balance between expressing who you are, which is really important. You don't want to change yourself for other people, but doing that in a way that also fits the culture of the kind of sector that you're going to be working in.
Yeah, thank you. Do you find that you are suggesting to your recruiting clients older people that they may not have considered?
Yeah, what's interesting is clients will never say outrightly, we don't want to hire a mature worker. You know, people aren't consciously biased about this. People don't deliberately discriminate against groups these days, which is nice, because that potentially wasn't the case when I first started in recruitment. People have learned that, you know, that's not a good way to be. But as I said earlier, it may be an unconscious bias. So it comes across in words like, oh, I just don't know if they're the right culture fit, or, you know, especially if it's a more junior role, well, that's great, but they've got a lot more experience, and what if they leave us for a more senior role? So they're the kind of things that we hear from clients that we know they don't even realize. It's not conscious on their behalf, but they're potentially not thinking through how they're, you know, the bias is playing out. So again, a bit like with the candidates who are overcoming the objections in the interview, we look to overcome those objections up front. So when we represent that candidate, for example, we would say, you know, if you're saying that they may not fit in the culture, what makes a fabulous workplace culture is around a commonality of values, and how the values and how the team work together is what makes a culture successful. And the individuals that we're representing to you across the board all share those values, which is why we've represented them to you. And yes, there's some diversity in there, and we all know, because we've read the research, that diversity actually makes organisations more successful. So whilst you may think that candidate X may not fit your culture, it may not feel like it because it's not what you're used to, but we believe if you look at the values alignment and you look at the style of working, that actually is a culture fit, but there's also a diversity that which will really add to the breadth of what you're trying to achieve. And usually when you speak to clients that way, they kind of go, okay, I get what you're saying. And often it's just based on paper at this point. So you say to them, well, look, meet the person. You know, we're not, you don't have to hire them, but meet them and see what you think once you've met them. Because we won't represent anyone we haven't met in person and had a good conversation with. So we know we're confident in that person. And again, then most clients, once they meet the person, will go, oh, I get it. I see what you were suggesting now. And they thank us for helping them move a little bit out of the box.
Right. Are you able to represent people that don't live close to you, like if someone's looking for work?
So we predominantly cover work in Sydney and the Greater Sydney region. We have an office in Byron Bay that covers the Northern Rivers region up to the Gold Coast and in Brisbane as well. And we do some work remotely in Melbourne on request. So yes is the answer. Where we can't meet the person physically, we will do as you and I are doing now, and we'll do a Skype interview. So it does require that the person has the capability to have a Skype or a Zoom type contact, so that we can really spend the time to get to know the individual. But yes, if we have the work in those areas, then we are able to help people in those areas. Okay. It is more, I would say, when it's outside of the Byron Bay or Sydney office, it is more about when we have a need in the more geographical areas.
All right. So to summarise then, can you just go over your top tips for people that are on the lookout for work and placing themselves out there when they haven't possibly had to look for a job for quite a long time?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the first thing is spend some time to think about what your strengths are, what you're good at, and how you can add value, and particularly your transferable skills, the soft skills, things like your communication skills, your problem solving skills. Spend the time to list those out, have a think about where your strengths are. Make sure that those strengths are coming across in your resume. And there's lots of advice online for resume tips. We have some advice on our website around writing good resumes, as do a number of other organisations. So have a think about how your resume represents you and how that comes across effectively. Once you're comfortable with that and with what you're looking to achieve in terms of where you're looking to work, maybe look at the kind of sectors and the kind of industries that are going to be supportive of mature age workers. The top one is the health and social care sector, followed by education, for example, then followed by manufacturing. So if you are worried about age discrimination, reach out to sectors and organisations that are more likely to be open-minded about it. Make sure you spend the time to tell your networks that you're looking for work, because a lot of jobs still come through word of mouth. So make sure you reach out to everybody and let them know. Don't be afraid to say to people, I'm looking for this. Do you know anyone that can help me? Because you'd be surprised how much that can help you. And then finally, practice your interview skills so that when you are in front of somebody, really you're confident about how you're presenting yourself. And actually, one more finally is just that confidence piece. Really believe in yourself, because that belief is contagious.
Thank you. That's very good tips there. And if anyone listening would like to get in touch with your organisation, where would they go?
The best place is to go to our website, which is www.beaumontpeople.com.au. That's BEAUMONT, beaumontpeople.com.au. There's a number of different contacts within our organisation there in terms of the teams that they recruit in and the areas they recruit in, so they can have a look through and see who the best person to reach out to is.
All right. Well, thank you very much. It's been very interesting and enlightening.
You're welcome. It's been great to talk to you, Anne.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.